Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We're going to be saying Happy Epiphany by the end of this morning, too. There's a lot to be happy about, I'm just saying. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning with brothers and sisters in Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I invite you to join together in our call to worship this morning, and the responsive reading will be up on the screens. A new day has dawned, a new year begun. The world turns to hopes and dreams of the future. We enter this new year with hope and excitement.
O Lord, remind us that you need us. O Lord, guide us that you will.
Let us pray. God of promise and light, open our eyes this morning that we may see your light in the darkness. Open our hearts that we may perceive your promises of justice and righteousness, promises fulfilled in the babe of Bethlehem. May we, like the Magi, have a star to guide us on our journey quest to find the one who will truly set us free. May this time of worship bring us closer to you, that the good news of the birth of light and love may transform our lives. Amen.
Good morning and Happy New Year. So it's good to see all of you out on this foggy first day of the year for our first day of worship. And also belated Christmas to many of you that we didn't get to see last Sunday to wish you a Merry Christmas. We know that many plans were canceled and people are still celebrating Christmas today with family gatherings. So hope you have made some good New Year's resolutions. No. Well, I want to give you a good one. We can all resolve to take the hope, peace, joy, and love that came to Christmas in the form of a baby named Jesus. We can take this into the new year with us and resolve to let it be an important part of our lives as we move forward into the new year. At this time, we will light our Christ candle that we did not get to light on Christmas Eve, and we have Nancy to do that for us. And if you all would just please follow along with the responsive reading as we do this. We light the Christ candle to remind us that the light of the world was born this night. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is also called Emmanuel, for in him God is with us. Let us pray. Most loving Father, thank you for this night and all it represents. Thank you for the hope you bestow, the peace you bring, the love you pour out, and the joy you give. We praise you most of all for Jesus, your Word made flesh. May he light our way as the holy star lit the way for the wise men. Amen.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
On this beautiful day. And why is it a beautiful day?
Because the new year is right before us.
Yeah, it's a This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have the scripture today is Psalm 98, 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song, because he has done wonderful things. His own strong hand and his own holy arm have won the victory. The Lord has made his salvation widely known. He has revealed his righteousness in the eyes of all the nations. God has remembered his loyal love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Every corner of the earth has seen our God's salvation. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Be happy, rejoice out loud. Sing your praises. Sing your praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of music, with trumpets and a horn blast. Shout triumphantly before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it roar, the world and all its inhabitants too. Let all the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains rejoice out loud all together. Before the Lord, because he's coming to establish justice on the earth, he will establish justice in the world rightly. He will establish justice among all people fairly. That's the word of God to his people. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Lord, we come into your house today with thankfulness. Thankful for friends and families. Thankful for a quiet week after the storm. Thankful for those people who work out in the cold to clear the snow from the roads and highways. Thankful for the firemen and women. Thankful for doctors and nurses who help the sick. Thankful for leaders who seek your wisdom to lead. Thankful that you came to earth. Thankful that you inspired people to write all of it down so that we can read about it for ourselves. Because, Lord, today the truthfulness of your word is being watered down, even changed. We do know this is not new, Lord, because as we read your word, we find that it's happened throughout the years. Society has tried to stamp out the fire of the gospels. But it has never been extinguished. The gospel is a wildfire that cannot be stopped. So as we go into the new year, we ask that you will help us to worship and seek and learn together. That you will help us to find the true meaning of the gospels and your holy word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
The time in the service where we have an opportunity to practice generosity and gratitude for all that God has already done for us. We have seen the light of the world. We have been called to follow the star of promise. Like the Magi before us, let us bring our gifts to honor the Christ child. Let us bring God's light to all the dark places in our community and in our world. As the ushers are coming forward this morning, no matter how you choose to give, don't forget to give your heart as well. And loyal service to our Lord. God of light and promise, we bring our gifts to further your work in a dark world. May they bring your light to those who are overwhelmed by darkness, pain, and loneliness. Accept these gifts of money and time, the gifts of our very selves. May they shine for all to see and be brought into the sphere of your love and righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. We still have until January 5th to be able to say that because we're still in the Christmas season. We get 12 days. It's more than just a song. I'll take them. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And then we're going to be saying Happy Epiphany before very long as well. Now, obviously, with it being New Year's Day, it'd be really easy to go ahead and start talking about resolutions and whatnot. Just this morning, I saw one of my friends on Facebook post like the top 10 New Year's resolutions that people make, you know, exercising, eating healthier, losing weight, saving more money, more time with family. Then there was less time on social media. Ironic that I read it on social media. Already, I blew that New Year's resolution. If a New Year's resolution is razzing Grant Crumbaugh, I'm already on it, though. I'm just saying. But we're not really going to be talking about New Year's Day specifically, about New Year's resolutions today, actually. January 6th is Epiphany. It's the day that we celebrate and recognize the Magi coming to see the baby Jesus. We don't actually know when it happened. We just decided, you know, maybe the 13th day after we celebrate Christmas, we're going to go ahead and say, okay, end of Christmas season, end of 12 days, let's get the Magi into the scene. And so we're going to be going ahead and celebrating and looking at Epiphany today, just a few days early. A day in which we recognize the significance of these magi, or wise men, or three kings. They seem to go by a lot of names, like a band that can't quite settle on a name for themselves. But there's significance behind these magi showing up to meet Jesus. And the significance has to do with how Jesus points out to us that not only will he be significant for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, which should be really good news for us, because I'm looking around the room here, and I don't see a whole lot of Jews. I see a bunch of Gentile folk. So it's good to know that Christ came for us too. That Gentiles would seek out the Christ to find hope and love and peace and joy. You know, the things that we've been lighting these candles for leading up to Christmas. That the Gentiles would find those elements in Christ themselves. However, as with any new year that is before us, it has a lot of questions, doesn't it? What will this new year bring for me? Will I be able to keep up with whatever resolutions I made? How long will this gym membership actually last me? New Year's have a lot of questions, but Epiphany brings with it its own set of questions. We start out the new year with questions, and we're going to be going through Epiphany with many of them. So I'm just going to throw this out there. If y'all came on January 1st of 2023 hoping to find all the answers, consider this your reverse sermon, because I'm just going to give you all the questions instead. How's that sound? Fair? Good? Awesome. This is the contemplative part of our Christian faith, I'm just saying. But in respect to the wise men, there does seem to be this overwhelming question that shines through. Did they know? Like really, truly, did they know? Because they had spent an untold amount of time traveling from an unknown great distance. We don't even know exactly where they came from. We just know they were from the east. They had to have been tired. They had to have been sore. You can just imagine these men lying face down in prostration, looking down at this rough wooden floor of the stable they were in, genuflecting to a baby who was lying in a manger. This baby who's supposed to be the King of Kings, supposed to be the Prince of Peace, supposed to be the Lord of the Lords, and yet here he is in a trough for animals to eat out of. It doesn't scream, this is a king. It doesn't scream, this is loyalty. It doesn't necessarily state very loudly, this is God in the flesh. So here they are to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. And the most humblest of circumstances, could they have had some questions running through their mind? Am I really in the right place? Did I really come to the right spot? And all the while, as they're looking down, lying face down, looking down at this rough-hewn wooden floor, they could feel their hearts beating from this longing that is too deep to truly define, this longing that drove them this untold amount of miles over uncomfortable terrain. Did they know, as they gazed into the red-faced infant that was inexpertly wrapped in this threadbare blanket by this young teenage mother, too young, really, for this awesome responsibility, for this awesome gift to have been thrust upon her, did they know, or did they only hope in the midst of this adverse environment they found themselves in? Did they only hope in the midst of all these seeming red flags that screamed otherwise at them? It's hard not to think that if we were in their shoes, that in this silence between falling on the floor and then rising up again to open up their treasures and open up their gifts, it's hard to not think that if we were in their shoes, that we would be retracing our steps of the journey that we had just undertaken to get there. From the euphoric feeling and the sighting of this once-in-a-lifetime celestial event, to the hurried decision to go where it called them to go, to the painfully slow, plodding steps of the camels across all those miles of rocks and sand, it seemed to take forever, as though they would never actually arrive at the place they needed to find. And we've all felt that way before. How many of us have been on a long road trip? And what is the longest stretch of the road trip you were on? It's the last 10 miles, right? The end finally seems to be in sight. It's like that anticipation that's been welling up over time. The anticipation of the last 10 miles seemed to slow down time painfully. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? We've all experienced that frustration. It might have been that frustration that led them to take a detour to Jerusalem. Because let's just stop and think for a moment. That stop in Jerusalem doesn't make any sense. They made it this far simply by following a star. And yet they stopped in Jerusalem to ask for directions. All of this unerring accuracy, following the stars across all these countless miles, yet for some only God knows why reason, they stopped in Jerusalem to ask where to find the birthing unit. It doesn't make sense. But in their defense, we might have done the same thing too. They might have assumed. I'm not going to tell you what happens when you assume, but we've all done it. How could they imagine that such a birth would take place anywhere other than the seat of power, right? Maybe their lack of political understanding of the area led them to believe that the current king would be celebrating this birth with the same enthusiasm that they themselves would be celebrating it. Perhaps, though, they found themselves surprised as they were riding through the mean streets of the big city to find no party breaking out, no bunting hanging from balconies, no souvenir vendors trying to monopolize and commercialize this event. No fireworks or maypoles, no songs being sung, not even a happy birth to the King of Kings greeting. They found nothing as they rode into town. So perhaps that added to their confusion too. It might have been that their confusion, the lack of anything. Maybe that's what caused them to decide to stop and ask for directions. Human beings, we are infamous for recognizing those who are different, aren't we? Those who don't belong here, we typically pick them out pretty quick. And foreign accents and a likely clumsy command of the local language, not to mention their clothes and camels, which carried some unknown treasures to the locals, likely all that caught the people's attention. But it wasn't any of that that made them dangerous. It was the questions they were asking that made these three wise men dangerous, and would put a target on them by this puppet king that served at the pleasure of the Roman Empire. They quickly found themselves in King Herod's receiving room, where this bath-robed despot was quizzing them about their quest. And maybe they gave him their answers with the innocence of true believers, thinking that maybe Herod would love to hear all of this. Well, if you haven't heard this already, well, let us tell you. Isn't this exciting? Maybe not so much. Maybe they picked up on his fear and his machinations and held back all of the details. Just enough to let him know why they were in town, not enough to really allow him to be privy to all the details. Maybe that was the case. However it was, when he sent them off to Bethlehem with the smarmy political handshake and empty promises, they stumbled out into the night with their heads spinning and their hearts pounding. And look, back up in the sky, there's that star again. Maybe it was because of their doubts about Herod and the wisdom of involving the powers that be in the quest for hope and salvation. Maybe that's what caused them to look again. Perhaps the reason why they were in Jerusalem in the first place is because the star was playing hide and seek. I don't know. But when they left Herod's place, there's that star once again. When they saw it, they rejoiced with relief and a little bit of embarrassment, because let's be real, guys, we don't like to ask for directions. They climbed onto their camels and got out of Jerusalem as quickly as those beasts of burden would take them out of Jerusalem, barely exchanging a word or a glance at one another as they rode all the way to the town of Bethlehem. Now this place, this little house, this little nondescript house, couldn't have been more different than the house they just left. This house was just small and plain, and Herod's was large and opulent. This little house was as vulnerable as the other one was fortified. Had they stopped long enough to think about it, their questions would have returned and their doubts would have surfaced. Can this really be the place for the King of Kings to be born? Instead of allowing their minds to question, though, and deciding to trust where the star had finally led them, they hopped off the weary camels, which clumsily chose this spot to finally lie down, because even if the wise men didn't know they were at their destination, the camels certainly had to have. The Magi ran up to the stoop and barely paused to knock before spilling into the room, startling the young mother who was trying to figure out what it is to actually be the mother and not just a babysitter or a helper. And when they rose from the floor and into the hands of this really confused and bewildered girl who now had three strangers in stranger clothing and stranger accents, thrusting these gifts richer than she had ever seen before her, gifts that she could never have possibly imagined having for herself. Well, you can just imagine Mary herself had a few questions this night too. And then with their hearts leaping into their throats, they asked if they could hold him, because let's be real, you're not going to travel any distance and not want to hold a baby. Gracious. And with trembling hands, you can just imagine how they took this precious baby and felt his warmth and wept tears that streamed down their cheeks for reasons they couldn't quite explain. After this all too brief visit for them, they staggered out into the night, blinking at the light from the star that still shone down and showered down this glorious light in that spot on that baby with glory, showering that seemingly ordinary child with his glorious light. And you have to ask yourself the question, did they really know? Did they know as they made their way home on yet another unfamiliar road? To be fair, even if they had gone back the same way before, that road still would have been unfamiliar, because in that moment that they stumbled into that little house, that moment they stumbled across this baby in a manger, that moment of worship and giving of themselves changed everything. Did they speak to one another as they rode, comparing their impressions, sharing their visions and dreams, asking questions of one another? Did they dare to ask their questions? Oh, who are we kidding? They're wise men. Of course they're asking questions. They could see it in the child, too, that this child was one for questions. This child would grow to be asked more questions than anyone before or since, and he would answer them all with truth, the capital T, truth, that kind of truth that's hard to take sometimes and often hard to understand and always needs to be dwelt upon, pondered, and claimed. Because if the truth you're being told doesn't need to be dwelt upon or pondered or claimed, then it's not the truth that we really need. If it's not worth something being contemplative about and asking 100 questions about, is not the truth that we need to grow in our discipleship journey. What we really don't know about the wise men could fill encyclopedias and novels and has filled novels, let's be honest. The amount of speculation that we could continue and conjecture upon would literally be endless. Of course, we've made up stuff because we human beings, we don't like uncertainty. We don't like mystery. Any mystery we come across begs to be solved in our mindsets. We've given these three people history. We've given them names. We've given them a story so we can wrap our minds around them a little more comfortably. We've constructed a scenario that makes sense, that sounds nice, that fits into the narrative that we've created for ourselves. But Matthew, the author of this gospel, doesn't seem to care about any of that. For him, these three wise men are merely a plot device. They're merely a means to an end. The wise men don't seem to matter to Matthew like they seem to matter to us. They're merely used as a way to announce the birth of Jesus. They are a sign pointing to something beyond themselves. That is what gives them purpose and meaning in this story, something that makes them characters in this narrative. That is what defines them. Not here's their name, here's their tragic background, here's how they overcame adversity, here's the many miles, this is the exact location they came from. No, we don't get any of that. They are who they are and who they have come to be because of what and who they have found. The story of the wise men isn't really about the wise men. It's about who they found. So, did they know? Do we really know? Or is faith enough for us? Is hope enough for us? And I warned you, we're starting off this new year with a load of questions. Can we live without knowing all the answers? Really? Because we like our answers. We like them nice and packaged and in a bow. And that's what we like under a Christmas tree, answers. Is it enough for us to take in the glimpses that we have been privileged to receive as sustenance enough on this ongoing journey of faith? If you look up the word epiphany in the dictionary, you're probably going to come across the religious definition that is a religious observance in the Christian faith that is celebrated on January 6th, commemorating the manifestation of the Christ to the Gentiles and the persons of the Magi, or an appearance especially of a deity or something along those lines. But when you get to the more common English usage, not so much strictly specifically religious usage of the word epiphany, you find another definition, a definition that implies a stumbling upon, a definition that implies a glimpse, a revelation, an intuitive perception into the reality or essential meaning of something. It's usually initiated by some simple and commonplace occurrence or experience. And we've all had little epiphanies in our lives, something as seemingly as small as you've been working on this 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you finally find that piece that goes right there that you've been searching for hours. It's like, oh, aha, of course it goes there. It might be you're just going about your day, and whatever it is you're doing, whether it be washing the dishes or doing some mundane task at work, it just clicks, oh, that's why I am the way I am. Oh, that's why they are the way they are. It's this strange moment of understanding when you weren't trying to understand it. Does that make sense? It's this random aha moment that comes across. It's not about knowing as much as it is about grasping something significant. It's a receiving of understanding the significance of something as opposed to earning it yourself. So again, I ask you about these wise men. Do you think that they really knew? Here's this baby in strange quarters that's supposed to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Prince of Peace in a manger. And yet, they received some understanding in that moment that went beyond any head knowledge that they could possibly piece or puzzle together. And you know, that might be enough to get us through. This receiving of the significance of Christ, even if we don't fully understand the significance of Christ, because let's be honest, we never will. Try as we may, try as we might, we're never going to fully understand the significance of Christ. We're never going to fully understand the significance of the love that Christ brought to us, but it might be enough to know. It might be enough to keep our feet moving forward in this discipleship journey that we're on to know that we receive it just the same. This epiphany that we receive Christ too might be enough for us to make our commitments, might be enough for us to make a covenant. And maybe it's enough to give our lives away to this child, to this story, to this gospel, and to this capital T truth. Maybe it's enough to resolve us to growing as disciples into this new year. Well, there I go. New Year's, there's a resolution. May we be a people that take this epiphany, this aha moment, that we too are loved, and allow this receiving of the Christ child to encourage us forward in our faith. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together, to be with one another, and to celebrate the Christ child during this Christmas season and beyond. Sometimes we get so stuck in needing to know the answers in every single facet of our lives that we don't stop to breathe in your presence, that we don't stop to breathe in to receive your love. Lord, help us to not drive ourselves too crazy when we don't understand everything. Help us to receive you, to receive your love, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And help that to be what allows us to move forward in your light, in your love, in your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. We come now to the great Thanksgiving. We come now to one of those strange aspects of our Christian faith, that even though we don't fully understand how it works with the body and the blood, we know that we're receiving this love of Christ just the same. So I invite you to join together in our liturgy this morning that starts with a prayer of confession. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him and seek to live in peace and with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what is known as an open table, which means you don't have to be a member of this church or a member of a United Methodist Church in order to come forward and receive. The only stipulation, if you absolutely have to have a rule or a stipulation about it, is a willingness to draw closer to Christ this day. As you come forward, either Grant or myself will be handing you a piece of bread. You'll then pick up a cup that you can place on the rails as you come forward and kneel. Body of Christ, broken for you. Blood of Christ, shed for you. The table is prepared. As you feel called to come forward, you are invited to do so. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, my friends, you're not going to know everything. You're not going to have all the answers to all the questions, but may you take this epiphany, this aha moment, that God's love is for you, yeah, for you too, and share that with the world around you, knowing all along that you're held in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.